insurance world can be stressful too. So it's finding ways, you know, appropriate ways to talk about that and find outlets. And again, something you just enjoy. And I think part of the gardening is just being outside and fresh air. And I'm working, I'm doing stuff around the house, but it's something I want to do versus vacuuming and cleaning bathrooms and stuff like that. So.
I think that compassion fatigue can be the same thing for human services because there's so much that people are learning about or maybe feeling that they couldn't do enough for the person that came to them in need or knowing that it's just a process, right? And maybe you want something to happen faster for the person that you're serving and it's not happening or they're not able to maybe stick with the plan that they made to meet their goals. Sometimes it is that lack of knowledge. And so, you know, you might be saying the same thing to them again and trying to get them on the right path. And, you know, people can take it home with them. So recently we've been trying to do kind of some workshops around that for our staff, really encouraging them to take care of themselves, that work-life balance. To take their breaks, to take time for lunch, get away from their desk, you know, those kinds of things. And just to have an outlet. We also offer an EAP, so if they need to talk to someone, there's counseling provided for them that they can speak to someone confidentially. We have a great HR team they can talk to. So just kind of offering some of those things where I think it just recently really has come to light that people need to be focusing on that in the workplace because there is so much of that burnout and, you know, that will cause you to lose staff and we don't want to lose staff. So we want to just be able to support them. For myself, I find I also like to talk about my stress. So I've kind of made a date every Thursday night with my best friend. We talk on the way home from work. She has an hour commute, so it's just a time for me to be able to talk and just kind of like let those things out, talk about, you know, how the week has been, and then not have to necessarily take it home because, yeah, my husband just gets like this glazed, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he works for himself, so he doesn't have, you know, anyone else that he has to really complain about unless he's going to complain about himself. So we're in very different places. And, you know, it can be that thing. And I notice, you know, sometimes if there's more stress, right, it'll come into your family life. And to the point where, you know, my daughter is very involved in what we do for work. She loves to volunteer. She loves to help out with things. But, you know, she doesn't love to hear about work, you know. So she just wants to hear about the fun stuff. Can I go pack the backpacks? And when do the teddy bears come in? Like, when can I do the fun things that you do at work? But not the stress. And I don't want her to think that work is always stressful and that, you know, we always, you know, we don't hate going to work, right? There's the good things, but we tend to talk about the bad. So finding that balance to really make a good balance at home is really important.
I actually want to mention, when I was trying to look up some things for this, I was looking at Maslow's hierarchy, which many of the, if you're in human services fields, everybody's familiar with Maslow's hierarchy. And actually one hospital organization was looking at trying to meet the physical needs of the nurses. And one thing that just triggered me is when you were talking about taking lunches. We're really bad about taking lunches. When you become a nurse on the floor, we're really bad about taking our half-hour lunch and our 15-minute breaks. And this hospital actually took Maslow's hierarchy and said, hey, we need to meet this physical needs of the staff, and that's toileting and getting food. And they actually started implementing a program to make sure all the nurses took their half-hour lunch break to get away from the floor, to help with their stress, to help with their physical needs, because we're always looking at the patient's physical needs. We need to remember our physical needs while we're at work. So, I mean, that kind of, when you mentioned having your staff go take lunch, we need to take lunch and not at our desks. Mm-hmm. We need to take it away from our desks. And we've become very bad about that in the last 15 years of eating lunch at our desks everywhere. So I just kind of made me think of that.
And thanks for sharing all those things. And I brought that question, it came to my mind, because as we serve the community, we have to make sure that we are in a good spot. And you guys have a lot of experience, and you've been in your fields for a while, so you had to have some knowledge in that. So thank you for sharing those. Now we're going to move to the strengths. Okay, let's talk about the fun stuff now. Okay? So the fun stuff being, what in your agency, in your role, what are the strengths that you see meeting the physical component? And also, what are the opportunities for growth, the positive opportunities that you see happening?
Sure. So I think a strength for Catholic Charities is we've been around for a long time. We were Catholic Charities of the Southern Tier before We are an offshoot of the Catholic Church in the Depression is when they really started Catholic Charities to meet the needs that the church couldn't meet because they were so overwhelming at that time. So Catholic Charities has a long history. In Watkins Glen, we've only been there since 1997, which actually is a while ago now. Time, yeah. You're like, oh, that wasn't that long ago. It was the 90s. And so we've been in Watkins Glen. So I think that's a strength for us is that we've been around for a long time. And so people know, you know, I think most of you were like, yep, I'm familiar with Catholic Charities, right? Whether it's ours in Chemung-Schuyler or if it's another one in Steuben County or Tompkins, Tioga, there's, you know, a whole network of us. And there's Catholic Charities across the U.S. and actually across the world. So I think there's a definite strength there. We have an incredible base of volunteers. Donors, we have an incredible board of directors, and so those are definite strengths for us. Our staff is fantastic. The folks that we have doing very hard work every day, 24/7, incredible staff. So definitely a strength that we have there. I would say opportunities for us. There's always room to grow, right? So we're always looking for new volunteers, new donors, new people to join the board. And being able to expand that reach that we have. You know, we want to grow the services that we provide, the number of people we're able to serve. One example is our housing program. So we do residential services, and we have different sites across the county. And we've been very successful. And it's a program that the state is funding. And so, of course, they do audits, and they check on the program all the time. And because we've been successful, we have a good success rate, we have good staff, good outcomes, they're saying that we can expand that program. So that means an expansion of staff, expansion of services. So those are just some opportunities, you know, looking for new staff, people that will come in with a new passion to do the work that we've been doing. Sam is at the table today. She's new staff, about 2 months that she's been with us. So she brings a new perspective, right? Asking good questions, looking at things in a different way. And we need that because we can, you know, kind of get into what we do. And so getting new staff in is always a great opportunity for us. And then just looking at how we can expand. Your conversation about, like, people knowing what kinds of food are good for them or not good for them. You know, is that an opportunity at our pantry? Could we have something, you know, that's like a little cheat sheet about if you are diabetic, if you're looking at a low-salt diet, like what kinds of things can our staff help point you to when you come in to get our services? So we're always looking for ways that we can, you know, really just network and work together. So that's a good opportunity for us.
What are our strengths? You know, when I'm thinking about our strengths is that we have the opportunity to change someone's life, which is something we say, something we do, just our touch. That's our strength as nursing. We're with our patients at their most intimate moments of their lives. And a nurse will be the one who can help them make the right choice or guide them in the right direction or just support them in whatever is going on at that moment in their time. Nursing, I feel, is such a diverse profession. With the people working in nursing, we have diversity everywhere we look. So you can learn from each other, too. Learn from what one nurse does, and you can apply it to what you do or maybe in another situation. And as nursing, our strength is we're... I just have to put this out there. We're the most trusted profession in the world again, or in the United States. Because I'm very proud of that as nurses. We've earned that honor because we've been with those patients. We've been honest. We've been there to support them because we are, we have to be strong. We're the caregivers there for them at that point in time in their weakest moments in their lives. What's the strength? Is the biggest one is seeing that difference in that person, that when they came in, they couldn't breathe well. They couldn't walk. Maybe their child was sick. Maybe their mother was not doing well, but then they come in and then they walk down the hall 10 feet. They can breathe now. Those differences that you can make in the life is, you know, I take that back. That's my feel our strengths are. Sometimes we don't always have those positive moments. We don't always have those positive moments, but maybe we're there for the family to help them ease that pain and suffering at that point in time. Maybe we took that moment in time to, you know, put the makeup on their mom or do their hair, which I don't do hair well, okay? Don't let me touch anyone's hair. I don't do hair. All right, that's my sister's job. But, you know what I mean, just doing, making them look nice, you know, that's our strength to help them maybe remember mom as how she was when she was younger. We can bring them together at that moment in time. Or just listening, listening. And that's the hardest thing of all, I think, is listening. And Brian brings up a lot is being present. We're present, just being present in that room, touching, holding their hand. That's a strength that we have, and we can have that moment with them. And that's how I feel our biggest strengths are, is we're there in those intimate moments making a difference.
Ours are similar and also different in that we don't get the same amount of patient contact time, per se, that nurses do for the most part. You know, some of the things might seem kind of obvious. We have, as physicians, we oftentimes have the ability to, in quotes, fix things, if you want to think of it that way. We also have the opportunity, which I think is even more important, to prevent things and to educate patients on, you know, healthy living and how to keep health good rather than fix it when it goes badly, when possible. But, you know, we have that strength and, you know, we have, for the most part, respect, you know, from our patients that we're coming from a place of help and, you know, wanting to help them with whatever issues they are dealing with or preventing the issues they don't want to have to deal with. You know, we have strength because we've got science on our side and research and, you know, medicine is interesting because one of the first things I learned early on in medical school was that you always think of medicine as a science, that's the obvious, but medicine is really an art too, and it's that we have the science on our side. We do evidence-based medicine, but the art comes in is how does it apply to each particular patient in their particular situation when they walk in our door, whether it be in the office or in the hospital or something like that. So we have the strength of science on our side, which is great. In terms of the medical school specifically, you know, we have the strengths. The strengths there are imparting this on future physicians and training them to see medicine in that way, not just as, you know, a checkbox to, you know, how to diagnose something, but how to take that science and use it and apply it appropriately to the patient in front of you. Opportunities we have, which have been great, is getting involved in the community, and it's amazing. I mean, medical students are busy, and they're stressed, and they really have no time to do even taking care of their basic needs sometimes, but they still, for the most part, are dying to get out there and get involved in the community because they spend a lot of times with books, even if we're talking about patients in our problem-based learning, which is also a strength, you know, specifically at LECOM and other schools that use that. We're still talking about theoretically the patient, although they are based on real patients. They don't get to see the patient, touch the patient, talk to the patient. And so some of the opportunities that are great is when they can get out in the community. Over at EOP, we have something called the Excel Clinic where students volunteer. It's like half a day a week, and we do lead screenings. It's primarily based for children, but any age can have it done. They do blood pressure screenings. They do food security screening, and we're going to be starting some mental health screening as well, too. And that's great because it's kind of point of care right where we need to be, and those are basic things. We don't treat them there. We try to help people realize if they have a problem and not wait till it's a big problem before they seek care. So those are opportunities. We're always looking for ways to get our students involved out in the community because that helps reinforce to them why they're doing what they're doing, not just reading books and studying diagrams and body parts and stuff like that.
Thanks for sharing those strengths and opportunities. And we have about 5 minutes left. I'm going to give you one other side question. I know, I got about 5 minutes.